Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, April 30th, 2009. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Let me give you that website again. It's mytwocentsonline.com. Folks, it's absolutely the best newsletter, and it's absolutely free. I can't believe it. And he's an economist. He's a good man. He understands. He knows what he's talking about. He takes a macroeconomic point of view and long range, and it's fascinating. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numeric two. And you can listen to his commentary on Contrary Investors Cafe. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning I have a confession, and that confession is that I did not listen to President Obama's speech last night. Now, having a radio program that's attached to much of what he said, or I suspect he talked about, you would think I would have been glued to the TV set, pen and paper in hand, taking down notes, so I can comment almost on every word. Well, I didn't. And I'll tell you why I didn't. I had a very difficult time watching Bush. I mean, I couldn't even look at the man when he was on TV. I mean, it would just upset me, and it wasn't worth me being upset to listen to him. And why? Well, because I knew everything he was saying was colored to an extent that it was not reality. Now we have a new president who is admired internationally. And unfortunately, folks, I feel the same way. Now, I don't have that same feeling about Barack Obama as I had for Bush, but at least with President Bush, I knew where he was coming from. I mean, we knew he was a pawn for the true people in power. He could not have thought through all of this himself. He was a front man. But we knew that. It's like having a guy living on your block that you know is an organized crime, but you know he's an organized crime. No problem. You know to avoid him. You know, you make sure you don't cross him or anything like that. But with President Obama, he comes across like the nicest guy in the world. Sort of like, you ever hear, when you hear someone doing some outrageous or criminal thing, and then they interview the neighbors and they say, you know, he was such a nice boy. He was quiet. He was so polite. He was the nicest kid. You know, we all liked him so much. We can't believe that, you know, he did all those horrible things. That's the way I feel about Obama. Is that you look at him and says, what a nice guy. I can't believe he's doing all those horrible things. Now, and let me give you the big tip off. A few days ago, I heard him say that he was ending, he's going to commit, keep to his promise of ending the campaign in Iraq, the military campaign, as promised during his election to president. While he was campaigning, he campaigned that he was going to end the military campaign in Iraq. Folks, he never said that. He said he was going to bring his troops home in a short period of time. Well, that short period of time turned out to be a much longer period of time, if ever. And he didn't say he was bringing the troops home. He says he's ending the military campaign. Well, what does that mean? Do you think that all of a sudden in a year from now, or if it's not going to be a year, I think it's now 19 months or 23 months from now, we have to get out of it eventually. I mean, we're going bankrupt. I mean, that doesn't take, you don't need to be a scholar or you don't need to be politically savvy to know that in 2 years, we're going to be out of there whether we like it or not. Either we're going to be bankrupt and we have to be out of there, or the entire the Muslim country is going to invade Iraq and throw us out. And I wouldn't blame them at this point. But we've already left a river of blood there. Reportedly, and we don't know the real numbers. No one knows the real numbers. You know, they say up to 1.2 million innocent civilians have died. I mean, that's tantamount to genocide. And then we leave. No, troops are not going to leave. Now, we may take some troops out. But what he's doing, he's also committing to his campaign promise of fighting the war on terror. Now, he actually ended the war on terror. And he did that by renaming it. And what scares me about him is that people like him, he's the nicest kid on the block. But I tell you, folks, I don't think he's any different than Bush. Any different. But he bothers me more than Bush because I don't see it in front of my eyes, but I know it's happening. Now, he's going to be taking some troops out of Iraq. He never mentioned anything about all the contract troops. But he's redeploying them in Afghanistan, and he's moving in Pakistan. Now, folks, please call in 646-652-4620. Am I missing something? It seems that I am missing something really big here. Now, also during his first 100 days, you know, I assume he talked about saving the banks and saving the economy and all that stuff. But he not only indebted us, he not only indebted our children, but our children's children, all within 60 days. Now, if he wanted to be honest, I mean truly honest, he would say that. I doubt he did. I doubt somehow that was an investment in the future of for our children, and that we're going to make all sorts of money on that. Well, it didn't take long for me to realize that what I have been preaching about the two-party system, that it's really a one-party system, and that the person who runs for president is not really the president. They just take orders from the money, they call them money changers, whomever they may be, you know, from the Federal Reserve people who own the Federal Reserve. And that's the way it goes. And I find him very objectionable. I think there should be the same move against Bush as there was against Obama as there was against Bush. I think we should throw them all out. And whether or not we have a Democratic-controlled Congress or Republican-controlled Congress is totally immaterial. just the money will be spent in different places because different groups are supporting each party a little differently. One gets more from the military complex, the other one gets more from the other complexes that are out there, money makers, and that's about it. So I have to admit, I did not watch the 100-day speech. And neither do I intend to, because it upsets me. And I don't need to be upset. Oh, on a personal note, my throat still bothers me. As you know, those of you who have been listening to me know I've had a problem with my throat. And I think they found that it's acid in, acid reflux-induced laryngitis. So now I'm on a anti-acid pill, and that should help. And it does. It does. It feels much better. But I don't think my voice will ever come back to where it was before. So if I'm not screaming and hollering and whatever, I apologize. I don't think I can do that anymore. Today's program is about the big scam. And I think last night was a good indication of what that is. Talking about a scam, I mean, here we are. Guy gets up there with his white pearly teeth and smiling and, you know, emphatic and saying how much he's doing for the American people and all this other stuff. And we listen to him. You know, we think that Marxism or socialism or communism or fascism is really an illusion here in the United States. We talk about it, but it's an illusion. That's what we say. You know, we there's some facets of it and some things that the government does that may be akin to it, but it's an illusion. And has the illusion, Marxism or socialism has the illusion of equality. Now, here's my problem. My problem is that we have a democratically elected republic. And we also have the illusion of equality. And the illusion of equality comes not because it's not embedded in our Constitution, not because we cannot achieve equality. And equality doesn't mean everyone has the same size TV set. That means everyone's given the same opportunity. But we have that illusion also because of government intervention. Now, that's what Barack Obama should have been talking about. We have an illusion of equality. And if you think that the government can forcibly induce equality, you're mistaken. It can only be done if people are given the freedom to act. Because I may have much less than somebody else, but I'm doing exactly what I want to do. So I'm equal to everyone else because I have the same opportunity. I just elect not to take that opportunity. You know, I went to my office. I'm going to break off for a minute. I had a doctor's appointment the other day, and my doctor, I just had to ask him a question, actually, as a result of some tests, which came out okay. And I figured that there shouldn't have been more than 10 minutes. I was there an hour and a half. You know, seeing the doctor for an hour and a half. He had a computer. I've never seen a computer with him before. And there he is with his computer, putting down everything we were talking about and doing all these things. And I said, geez, this is kind of neat. You know, you're computerizing, bing, 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 you know. I said, how's it working out? He says, it's horrible. He says, I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. I can only see 8 patients a day. I used to see over 20. He says, but it's good for the billing department. And he was angry. He said, over 90% of the doctors dislike the system so badly. I mean, they're just fighting it like heck. And it's not because they're not computer savvy, because he says it's very easy. He says, I can manipulate this very easily. I mean, there's no learning curve in it whatsoever. It just, you know, it leads you right through exactly what you need. But it takes a long period of time. Now, think about that, folks. Here the government gives these healthcare companies some sort of tax credit for computerizing. They computerize, right? They computerize. The doctors see half the number of patients. Now the government has more control. All they have to do is request computer files. They can control everything with computers. Now, the billing department is happy. The financial organization is happy. The doctor is seeing half the number of people. All of a sudden, we have a backlog. People can't go see the doctors. And who's to blame? Well, the financial organization that maybe owns the hospital or whatever, they don't want to miss getting out on losing all that money because, you know, if they don't computerize, they're going to miss out on all those government perks. So they have an inducement to do that. Of course, they're sold a bill of goods that this is going to make things even more efficient, which it doesn't. And I fear that our healthcare system is going down the tubes, primarily because of government intervention again. Now, the best thing that we can do for ourselves is probably to read a book by Dr. Campbell called The China Study. I know I'm getting off the subject for a minute, but The China Study by Dr. Campbell. Run out and get that book. You can take care of yourself. You actually can take care of yourself. We can lower healthcare cost if we took care of ourselves. If we're giving that option of taking care of ourselves. Now, if we want to eat at McDonald's every day or have a Baconator at Wendy's every day with French fries, you know, and onion rings, fried onion rings, by the way, you know, do it. But you'll do it at your peril. If you want to live and feel good and reduce the probability of major disease, read The China Study. It's a fantastic book. It's all medically based. There's no hype. There's no anecdotal information. It's all stuff that's been printed in the Journal of the American American Association, JAMA. He's a renowned researcher. It's a phenomenal book, The China Study. Read it. And you can lower your healthcare costs. I had bad knees. I mean, every time I got up, my knees would ache because I used to be a triathlete. I ran an awful lot. And my knees really got bad. I have no cartilage at all in my left knee. I can't run at all, unfortunately. I can bike. And since I've been following, they don't have any prescription, but I've just been following the intent of that book, my knees feel like they're brand new. I can get up and down. They don't ache at all. It works, folks. We are killing ourselves, and we are electing to do it. Do it. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please call in with your questions, comments, or criticism, please. You know, in order for President Obama to perpetrate a scam, he has to ensure that the public is ignorant. Not stupid, ignorant. And you have to instill that ignorance. Without ignorance, there is no scam. Now, once you have nationwide or broad-scale ignorance, then you can instill politically motivated doctrine. PMD, I call it. Politically motivated doctrine. Once you instill politically motivated doctrine, then you can systematically, folks, indoctrinate the population. This is exactly what our two-party system has done. We went from ignorance to politically motivated doctrine to systematic indoctrination. Think about that. Think how many people get their information just from the TV set. And they sit there and they absorb what's told to them, and then they attempt to make a decision based on that. Could you believe trying to make, not knowing any better, trying to make a decision on how well President Obama has done the first 100 days by listening to his speech? Or conversely, how poorly he's done if you're listening to the opponents? You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get the full picture in either case, even if you put both of them together. You see, in our school system, we discourage rationalism. Rationalism and free thought, criticism, and critical thinking is discouraged. You see, religion is based on belief. Right? Now, what the schools want you to do is believe the malarkey that they give you when you're learning in, what you're learning in school. I'm not talking one and one is two. That's true. I'm not talking about math. But what they teach in school, or what they don't teach in school, is even more important. Or what we don't know, which will hurt us. None of that is encouraged. Then the government comes around, and as Barack Obama does all the time, he instills this belief that government can solve any and all problems. Now he says, you know, government can't solve every problem, then get the hell out. He says it, but then he puts both feet right back in again. He said that government officials, guys who are smarter than you and I, you know, can't solve problems that you and I should be solving. He also advocates the inefficiency of the free market. That is human behavior. How does he know that? We haven't had a free market since 1789. We have no free market. We have a market tightly controlled by the government in every aspect. And actually, they instill this belief of the fallibility of man, of people, that we really can't do it. We can't do what we need to do on our own. It requires a partnership with government. And we buy that because we're ignorant. And there's a feeling that you get that I'm incompetent when I listen to the president. For some reason, because I'm a finite human being, and I'm incompetent and incomplete unless government's there to guide me. And then they never talk about the Constitution. But when they do, they talk about the malleability of the intent of the Constitution. But because we're so ignorant, we believe it. We believe it's a living document, that it can be changed, can be reinterpreted for the times. And somehow they justify that by talking about the corruptness of the human endeavor. If I endeavor to do something, it's got to be for selfish reasons, and it's a zero-sum game. That means I've got to take it from somebody else. And unless government is there to protect that other person, it would be an uneven playing field. Life is not a zero-sum game. In fact, if you look at history, anytime someone achieves something, everyone gained by it. And there's this promotion of parenting, that the government is really our parent, that the parent is not responsible for educating your children, their children. The government's responsible. Think about that. Government's not responsible for educating my children. I am. If the government was responsible, we would have kids and boop, bingo, they would go right into a camp immediately. We're in charge of educating our students, our children. And if it means we educate them contrary to the way the government wants us to educate them, so be it. It's supposed to be a free country, which is a myth. And we now substitute, and I think this is what Obama does so well. We substitute symbolism for valid theory. In fact, you know, we have all these symbols, all these terms, all these words that we use. And yet, when you ask someone, what does that mean? What does he mean when he says, we're going to end the military campaign No one can answer that question. They say, well, he's going to end the fighting. End the fighting? Well, are we going to take all our troops out? Well, I guess so. That's what he said. You're to camp. I'm assuming we're going to do that. No, it doesn't assume that you do that. And if we rename it, but we still have troops there, but we're told not to fire unless fired upon, what's the difference between that and what we're doing now? Very little, is it? And then, regarding all this has happened regarding the financial crisis, we are confusing greed and irresponsible for government incentives. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, for example, they're government-sponsored enterprises. They're called GSEs for a reason. They're called GSEs because they're government-sponsored. They knew they couldn't fail, so the government did whatever they wanted. In an article written by Sheldon Richman. He's editor of The Freeman, published by the Foundation of Economic Education. He writes, Oliver Hardy would have said, well, government, this is another fine mess you've got us into. Good government frees. Bad government enslaves. Is this what the Founding Fathers intended or envisioned? Self-reliance is now the exception rather than the rule. So in answer to Barack Obama's speech, I have these three words. Goodbye, America. Goodbye. This is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign in his desk that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. With that, until next time, and that'll be Sunday evening, 8 o'clock, we're going to have Mike Rivera here. He's going to be our guest, be a real signing program. That's Sunday evening, 8 o'clock Central Time. I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.